Grace, mercy, and peace be to you all from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hi. It's good to be here this morning. I'm Pastor Aaron, and some of you I've gotten to know, whether it was last weekend or sometime this past week. Some of you I talked to a little bit this morning. I'm excited to be here. I'm really excited and eager to continue to get to know you all and do life and ministry together with you here at St. Luke's. It's an exciting time. And this morning we are continuing on in our series, We Believe. And so we are going to continue to look at what are the things that we as Christians hold to be true? What are the things that we believe about God and all the things around us? And so Pastor Dan's been walking us through the last couple weeks as we've looked at the Bible, and we've seen that the Bible is God's Word. And in the Bible, we see that God, as we confess this morning, is Creator. He's created the world and all the things in it. And we are His creatures. We are created beings as well. God has created us in His own image. And then we have also seen that we believe that we can be justified. We can be made right in God's eyes through the work of His Son, Jesus. Jesus came into the world, lived a sinless life, was crucified on the cross for our sins, died, buried, and then was raised to new life 3 days later. And then last week, Pastor Dan talked to us about how God works through means. If you remember, we talked about this means of grace thing. And when we say means of grace, what we mean by that is that God, throughout the Bible, delivers His good gifts to His people through various methods and means. God, He doesn't conjure up things out of thin air like some sort of magician. He takes things that we can see with our eyes, that we can hold with our hands and touch with our hands. And these things may seem ordinary or mundane, but God does extraordinary things with them. And talking about means of grace is really a perfect segue for me as I then this morning focus on what we believe about baptism. And Pastor Dan showed us last week a couple examples of how we can look back and see how God has worked through history and used very real and tangible things to accomplish His will, whether it's mud or a fish or a bronze serpent, whatever it may be. And it's so cool that we can also look in our lives today, in the church today, and see that God continues to do this. He continues to work in this way. He takes real, tangible, physical things and works through them. And that's true of baptism. Baptism is a very real, tangible means of grace in our lives that God continues to work through His church and among His people. See, God in baptism delivers to us, He transfers to us the greatest, the most precious of His gifts, and He does it in something so simple. He uses water. Water is the most common substance on the face of the earth. And God takes it and He does something absolutely uncommon with it. And as we explored last week, when we're talking about means of grace, we need to focus on a couple things. One, in God's means of grace, the means that He uses is often not what we would expect. It's not the means that we would probably choose. And two, God's means of grace, the means that God uses, there's nothing special about it. You know, it doesn't have any, it's not magical, it doesn't have any mystical properties. And then finally, third, we looked at how in God's means of grace, when God works in that way, our faith and our hope and our trust doesn't go in the means itself, but it goes to God. Our trust is in God, who then works through the means. And those things are true of baptism as well. And so when we're talking about baptism as means, the means that God is working through in baptism is right here. It's water. It's so simple, so ordinary. And yet, it can be kind of unpleasant at times. Many of you probably don't know this about me, but growing up, I played water polo. I played water polo all through when I was younger, all through high school. I swam on a swim club. And so I can tell you that water at times can be a little unpleasant. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do is wake up at 5:30 in the morning for swim practice. You're cozy in your bed. It's warm. It's nice. And then you have to get up, which is already hard. It's hard to get up as it is. And then you realize you have to get up and go jump in a cold pool. Isaac knows what I'm talking about. It's cold. The water, I don't know what it is. It's so much colder in the morning. So cold. And so, I'd show up to practice. I'd get on the pool deck, and, you know, I got my eyes just kind of barely open. And I would delay as long as possible to get into that water because I knew it was going to be so cold, so frigid. And let me tell you, every time I finally had to get in, either my coach would push me in or yell at me or whatever it may be, I got in, and it was always just as jarring and disorienting and uncomfortable as I thought it was going to be. Water can be uncomfortable at times. We don't really like to get water on us unless it's like 95 degrees outside and we're looking to cool off a bit. Maybe you've witnessed a baptism where an infant has had water sprinkled on their forehead, and the response that you usually get is not one that you would expect from someone who has just received the grace of God, the salvation of God through Jesus Christ, because we usually have a blood-curdling scream after and cry. Just think about it from the baby's perspective, you know. Some guy tried to drown me in the water, and yeah. Anyways, water is sometimes unpleasant. It's probably not the means that we would think that God would choose. But sometimes God takes things that are ordinary and does the extraordinary. And baptism is extraordinary, but what is extraordinary about baptism is it's not the water. It's the fact that God works through the water. See, I can go over here to the baptismal font, and I can tell you, there's nothing special about this. It's just water. You can touch it. It's plain. There's nothing magical or mystical about it. This water doesn't heal cancer. This water doesn't turn things into gold. It's water. You know, it's the same water that you would see in a lake or a pond or an ocean, and yet God still uses it. And it's kind of amazing because God takes something plain. You know, I'm struck by a passage in Scripture where it says that God takes the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He takes the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He takes the things that may seem of little significance, and he works through it. He chooses it and makes himself known so that no one can stand in the presence of God and boast. I think it's important that God chooses to work in this way. You think about it, how easy is it for us to lose sight of who's at work here? How easy is it for us to see a golden calf and bow down to it? These magnificent, grand things. But God doesn't need anything grand or magnificent to make himself known. God takes something so simple, something that we see every day, something that is necessary for our survival, and he does something amazing with it. And it's kind of cool because when we gather here together for a baptism, this water becomes something more. In the catechism, it says that this water becomes divine, divine water. Not because of the water. The water doesn't do anything special, but it's the water combined with God's word. In God's word, we have the promises of God. And so in God's word, we then become recipients through baptism of the things that God has promised to us. Things like salvation in his Son, God works through baptism for our salvation. And we can be confident in the promises that we receive in baptism, because as we read the scriptures, we can see that God is a God who is faithful to his promises. And so as we talk about promise, the promises that God makes to us, what promises are we talking about? What do we know is going to happen in baptism other than you're going to get a little wet? Because there's a lot more going on here. As we read in our gospel reading this morning, baptism is intimately tied with the making of disciples. Jesus, after he's raised from the dead, he appears to his disciples and he tells them something. He says, "Go. Guys, I want you to go out there. Tell the people what I've told you. Tell the people what I've done for you. Go and make disciples of me. Baptize them," he says. "Baptize the people." So what does it look like for us to baptize and make disciples? What does that look like? And I think we can look to Paul's words that we also read this morning in Galatians 3 and 4. Paul tells the Galatians that when you are baptized into Christ, you are clothed with Christ. You are connected to him. In baptism, we are connected to the things of Jesus. We're connected to his death and resurrection. What that means is baptism is more than a washing of dirt off our skin. And I think it's fitting that we use water because we use water to wash. But in baptism, there is a deeper washing going on. We are washed in the blood of Jesus. We are connected to his death. And in his death and resurrection, we have forgiveness. We are washed from the taint of sin in our lives. In baptism, is the forgiveness of sins for those who believe and put their faith in Jesus. But if we leave it right there, we're missing something. Because Jesus goes on. It may be well-intentioned for us to drive around our neighborhoods with a super soaker baptizing our neighbors. But we're missing an important element. We're missing the Word of God. We're missing the presence and the teaching of God's Word. See, Jesus goes on to tell his disciples, baptize the people. And teach them. Teach them the things that I have commanded you. Teach them what it means to be a disciple. When we gather up here for a baptism, we get up here, and usually there's family gathered around, friends, maybe a few brothers and sisters. And maybe something you haven't thought about a lot, we also have sponsors. Sponsors come up here. And sponsors are so vital because they represent this aspect of what it means to baptize and then make disciples. And I want to read to you really quick what it says in our Lutheran service book. This is what we read to the sponsors at a baptism. We gather up here together, and then this is read to the sponsors. It's a really long paragraph, so I'm gonna make it a little shorter for you. But we read this, from ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates. The sponsors, they are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They're to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction, and nurture in the Christian faith. Encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for their neighbor. We as brothers and sisters in Christ have an awesome responsibility, but also an amazing opportunity to encourage one another, to show each other what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And that's what this community here is for. We gather here together in worship to learn, to grow, to encourage each other. So that's why we have things like sermon series about the things that we believe. This is why we gather together around God's word in Bible study, to encourage each other, to spur each other on, so that we can, as a community, better know what it means to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Christ, to love our neighbor, and as we read, to be rightful recipients of the gifts of God in the Lord's Supper. But I'll leave that for Pastor Dan next week, because next week we're going to continue on in our series and look at what we believe about the Lord's Supper and how we can be rightful recipients of God's good gifts in that meal. And now I want to encourage you. As we think about our baptism, I want to encourage you to think of ways to remind yourself about your baptism. For me, I do a cross just every time I hear the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For it was in the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that I was baptized, that I was saved. But it's so important to remember because, I mean, we celebrate our birthdays every year. Think about your birthday when you became a child of God. In Galatians 3 and 4 that we read this morning, it says, you have become an heir with God. You're part of God's family. We, as heirs, receive the inheritance of Christ, God's riches, God's righteousness. How important it is to remind ourselves of that fact. And you can come up with a number of different ways to remind yourself of your baptism. Sometimes I know some people will come and touch the water and put a cross on themselves to remind themselves of their baptism. Or maybe you and your family just celebrate your baptismal anniversary every year. But whatever it is, when you are reminded of your baptism, give thanks. We have a good God, a God who loves us, and a God who gives good gifts. The chief among those is secure salvation that we have in our baptism. And maybe there are some of you here this morning who have not been baptized. Maybe you've thought about it for a long time. Maybe this concept is new to you. Maybe you have questions. I don't know. But if that's where you're at this morning, I want to encourage you, don't hesitate to come talk to me or Pastor Dan. Come ask questions. We would love to talk to you about what baptism means for us in our lives of faith. So please do that. And then also, I know this morning I can't cover everything, but we have this really cool book called Martin Luther's Small Catechism. And maybe you recognize it from your confirmation classes, but I encourage you to dust it off. Dust it off, open it up to, there's a section in here on holy baptism, and there's questions and answers and all these different things about why we do baptism and who should be baptized and all these different things that I didn't have time to cover this morning. But it's so cool to have something like this that we can open up and look at what we believe and why baptism is so important in our lives. And so now I want to pray that the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, that it would guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.